Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have a really amazing founder, you know, repeated founder. I'm very successful, you know, a repeated founder. You know, the last company that she did actually was acquired by Comcast for none other than $400 million plus. So let that sink in. So today's, basically in today's conversation, we're going to be talking about how to think about investors, how to also build that loyalty and that relationship with investors. Also, how to think about your day based on what you're going to be able to learn throughout such day. And then also how to think about talent, how to think about retaining talent, creating that loyalty so that they can come with you on other journeys and all of the good stuff around building, scaling, financing, and beyond. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Diane Yu. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Alejandro. It's my pleasure to be on the show.
So originally born in China. So give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up for you?
It was very different, but also and I was born in a major city. So I always loved the major city. And I came to the state for graduate study. And after that, I was so fortunate to have a job offered by DoubleClick. That's how I started my career here.
So tell us about, you know, how was coming to the US, because obviously, you know, you came here for the graduate studies and then it was DoubleClick. But I guess why coming to the US? What was it about the US that got you excited?
It started from a promise I made to my dad. My dad wanted me to take a look at what's outside of China is what could be looking like. So that's how I started. And so I made a promise. I hold my promise. I was hoping I can finish my 2 years of graduate study, just going back to China, start my own company, because I had my track at the time, like early entrepreneurship. And then after I graduate, I was offered a different type of opportunity. And I said that, you know what, I'm going to try and see how it looks like to live in a different country. Fast forward like 20 years, I'm still here. I'm flying between the two countries.
Now, in your case, you ended up after getting the degree at university, you went to DoubleClick. How did the opportunity of DoubleClick come about? Because I remember DoubleClick was one of those first companies in the startup venture ecosystem that was starting to develop too in New York City. It was a different, you know, different life, different venture experience, different everything. I mean, obviously, after that, nowadays, you know, you see venture capital all over the place in New York City, but back then it was really non-existent. So how was the opportunity of DoubleClick? How did it come knocking to you?
So it started from a story too. I was really just coming to the city to meet up with a good friend. And then the recruiter called me saying, hey, you're in the city. Why don't you come to our office? I met a whole bunch of people at DoubleClick office. The very last person I met was the VP of engineering at the time. His name is John Hyder. I still remember him vividly. So after the conversation, he said, Diane, I feel so great about this conversation. I am going to send you an offer letter. So once I get back to the school, not only he sent me an offer letter, he also sent me a basket with a card that he wrote himself. He said, Diane, I wish your next dream gonna become and join work for us at DoubleClick. And with that letter, you know, nobody writes you a letter, you know, as a student, young student, know nothing about the career. A VP of engineering write you a personal card and with an offer letter. And I was so touched by how he tried to recruit talent. So I called him right after that and said, I'll be there. That was the reason, you know, and then I learned from him as my first career lesson that if you treat people fairly and you treat them with true how you feel, and then they're going to follow you. So I followed him, you know, out of school. And now I do the same when I try to reach out to recruit talent.
So how was it like that experience? Because at DoubleClick, you lasted. I mean, you're one of a kind too. You seem, you know, out of your career where you've stayed in places, you know, even after an acquisition for many years, as a very loyal person. And that is very hard to come by. With DoubleClick, you were all the way towards the acquisition there. You were there actually for close to a decade. So what do you think kept you there holding on? You know, what was that? And what is typically the way that you see things in that future that you're living into, you know, perhaps, you know, in this case with DoubleClick, and how was scaling through the ranks all the way to making it to the VP of engineering and going through the acquisition too?
Yeah, that was an excellent question, Alejandro. So I always view myself as how much I learn. So at DoubleClick, 9 years, I started as an engineer. When I left, I ran the engineering team. And every year, I pretty much got a totally different job, different opportunity. Over the 9 years, I went through 11 teams and keep on increasing, learning about different team, learning about different opportunity. That's what kept me so interested in solving the problem at DoubleClick. It's not about the job. It's about how much you come and, you know, every day and how much you learn. You go home, feel so excited about knowing something that you didn't know at the start of the day. And then that's, for me, that's super important, especially for a lot of engineers. I later on have the opportunity in my career to get to know. It's super important for them too. If you build a learning environment, if everybody come and then you know, in the morning you start, you go home, you're learning something that you didn't know. And then that keeps the individual, keeps the team motivated.
So how was it like going through that acquisition too with Google?
So as part of the team that post acquisition with Google, I sat there, you know, for my personal journey, I sat there thinking, what's the rest of my career I want to be? Do I want to stay at a large company being an engineering exec, or do I want to do something different? This is when I sit here and thinking about and debating the choices that I have in my life, and I always opt for to learn more. That's when I left, started my own company with my two other partners as a co-founder and a CTO. And then in hindsight, the search list the right choice. But at the time, I remember my good friend, co-founder and a CTO, Dwight Merriman, you know, told me, what are you thinking, Diane? You were golden handcuffed. You shouldn't leave. I didn't listen to him, and then I still break the golden handcuff, and I chose to dive into something that I've never done before and taking myself out of the comfortable zone, which become a very different person. And I think have different life journey and different experience make me very different now. And then Dwight, even later on, he agreed. And by the way, he invested in my second company. So we're very good friends, you know, since back to the DoubleClick days.
That's amazing. So let's talk about FreeWheel, which was a phenomenal success. How was the, what was the business model there with FreeWheel?
FreeWheel is a large B2B video monetization platform. So we're building the platform as an exchange, connecting buyer and a seller. And our powerful platform enabled global media companies to utilizing our platform capability and creating video monetization and collecting the advertisement and deliver to the audience for based on where they want to see and watch the video. So when we started, we never expected that we're going to get this many customers, especially large global media companies. And then it's just journey just went down from there.
So then let's talk about the FreeWheel, because I mean, that was almost 7 years, you know, packed of action. So I guess first day rodeo to as a founder, at what point did you know, hey, I think we're going to be all right here. We're going to be okay. We're going to be doing some really good stuff, because being the first time around to that uncertainty, I'm sure it was tough.
So when we start to sign up customer, we didn't anticipate we're going to sign up. So for example, in the early days, we have YouTube as the partner. I was like, really? Okay, we're going to get YouTube as the partner. And then I also remember one day, my co-founder and partner, Doug, was saying, you know what? We reached 20 million in annual revenue. That means that we're doing something right here. And we're you know, onto a solid business and with a solid solution that getting customer. That struck me so much that I just remember, you know, when I think about creating a solution for a big problem, I always think about, well, number one, how big the problem that we're solving for, and do you have a solution that can create value? And bring that back to Tidal Wave. The reason I'm so passionate, you know, as a second-time founder, the reason I'm so passionate about starting Tidal Wave is I spot a big problem for mortgage origination. Alejandro, I'm not sure whether you've applied any mortgage. And then today, as a first-time borrower, when you think about buying a house, most of the American families, they need to apply for a mortgage. When you're applying for a mortgage and you send the loan officer a whole bunch of information, you feel like, you know, your entire financial history and sending them with all the document. And then you keep your fingers crossed. You don't know what happened. There was no transparency. And until maybe, you know, 30, 45 days later, you got a, you know, a note back saying either you're approved or rejected. You know what? This is the lifetime purchase, the biggest purchase of your lifetime.
And we're going to be diving into Tidal Wave, you know, in detail. Now, before diving into Tidal Wave, I want to close the loop here on FreeWheel. Because, I mean, FreeWheel was a really pivotal experience. The FreeWheel, you know, journey culminated with a acquisition by Comcast for over $400 million. I mean, who would have thought when you came to the U.S. that you were going to be part of a team that would build such a tremendous amount of value? How was going through that acquisition, you know, journey for you guys?
So that was a really good question. When we thought about building a company, we were really focusing on building a solution for a problem. So we were not thinking about exit strategy. And then the opportunity came, we were pitching Comcast as a customer. The conversation went deeper and deeper. They were saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you think about this? When the three of us sat at a table, we think about how we want to take our company to the next step. One of the key criteria is to how to take this platform and enable that to be even broadly distributed to more customers. And Comcast provide the right platform, especially for TV monetization. That was the reason why we decided, hey, being part of the Comcast can help us accelerate our speed of growth further. That's the reason, the key reason that we decide to be part of the Comcast platform.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone, it's super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com, and we would love to take a look at helping you out.
But I mean, not only become part of the Comcast platform and do the what they call the vesting and resting as founders, but I mean, typically that would be like about a 1 year thing or a 2 year commitment maximum. Here you stayed for over 7 years. That's a long time, you know, for joining a company that is acquiring your baby, where you've already become a founder, where you have the entrepreneurial drive. Why did you stay with Comcast for so long?
So my path at Comcast is very unique too. And then, as I said, in my career, I make choices, I make decisions based on how much I can learn. So at Comcast, the post-acquisition, they offer me a possibility. They offer me an opportunity that's very different, where Comcast put together five companies via acquisition that they offer me the opportunity to restructure, connect the platform for all those five companies, put together true exchange. Based on majority of FreeWheel's platform, and then on top of that, I have to restructure the other four company, the other four platform, connecting them. So I sat there and thought to myself, and where can you have the opportunity to learn something like that? Five different companies being acquired, they all come from different experience, different platform, different culture, and having the opportunity to be able to structure them into a single platform, rebuilding and building the team under the same culture, become one culture, one platform. So it is the challenge. It is the challenge that I don't get to do in other places that draw me to make that decision, stay there and commit to build the platform, build the team together.
So after so many years at Comcast, you joined Better as the CTO. And that was the moment where you realize the magnitude of the problem, you know, when it comes to the applications in the mortgage industry. I mean, there you were for close to 2 years before you knew that you had to take matters, you know, to your own and create really a better future in that regard. And that's when you got started with Tidal Wave. Now, going back to what you were alluding earlier with Tidal Wave, that the purchase of a home is the biggest investment that, let's say, anyone is going to make or most people are making in their lifetime. What did you see that really, you know, how was that moment like? Make us insiders here. How was that moment like when you decided to take action and not only become a co-founder, but also in this time around, being the CEO? Because before you were the CTO. So now it sounds like you crossed the bridge to the business side too, which is not easy. So walk us through that.
It's the similar journey I always follow. I want to do something different, right? So from iTech going into the financial technology, my almost 2 years at Better, it was amazing because I learned so much every single day. And as I learn, I start to realize, despite all those improvements, there are like so much more. There are many limitations of the existing solution. It just doesn't create the right type of solution, and which created this problem with the mortgage industry, where every single lender largely using human to underwrite the mortgage application, which coming back to my problem about the borrowers, the borrowers not getting the best experience on getting a mortgage. So because in the back end, and this, you're using all those human, all those lenders using human to originate the loan. And what's sad about it is that regardless how many people you employ, many of the lenders are losing money. They're in a tough situation. So that moment of realization of, you know, this mortgage industry, and with so many solutions, point solutions, one after another, but there's no one cohesive solution that can create a smooth user experience for the borrowers and also at the same time make the lender so easy to originate so that their business is not in trouble when the mortgage rate goes up. And then when the mortgage rate goes down and they can easily originate with more volume. Today, they cannot. That's the problem that you see in all those news where, you know, when the mortgage rate is favorable, everybody fighting and expanding with, you know, people. And when the mortgage rate, you know, goes back and no longer favorable, and everybody has to face the firing of, you know, laying off those loan officers. Nobody wanted to do that. You know, Better was, unfortunately, was famous for, you know, fired a lot of people because over, and it's not a unique situation. And all those lenders went through the same similar type of bump and bust cycle. And I want to change that. That's the moment of realization. With my knowledge on the technology, with my knowledge in the business, I know there is something that can be done, that can be created very differently to change the mortgage industry.
So let's talk about then the business model of Tidal Wave. How do you guys make money?
As part of Tidal Wave, the key is we're building a SaaS platform. And that platform will be available to all of those lenders. Once they utilize our solution to create the ways that easily originate loans for their customer. So we get paid for a fee, technology service fee for doing that, helping them to do that.
So then let's talk about to the team, because the way that you guys have put the team together is really fantastic. I mean, we're talking about literally having employees, colleagues that you've been working with for the past 15 years. I mean, that's really incredible. How did you go about enrolling them into what was possible with Tidal Wave? And how also do you think about team building, you know, given those pre-existing relationships and how you think about building those into the future too, maybe for future projects, God knows.
So starting company is very hard. And then the key there is, and you want to make sure that you start with people you trust. And I'm very fortunate to have built long-term relationship with top engineers that who started my first company with me, and then followed me into Better, followed me out of Better. We have the same passion. We're super passionate about creating this capability to change the industry. So that's very key. In addition to that, because starting a startup is hard, you want to make sure that, you know, as you're building the team, you're building with the right type of talent, not just one side. And then, you know, I'm fortunate enough at Better, and I got to know a lot of passionate mortgage industry experienced people. And today at Tidal Wave, we got not only the combination of engineers who worked with me for the past 20 years, we also have people that with mortgage experience, over 20 years of mortgage origination and operation experience working with us. Collectively, we all collectively realize how big the problem this is, how complex the problem it is. Therefore, that we, you know, work together utilizing our strength and expertise knowledge to create a situation that we can solve for this big problem.
So talk to us too about fundraising. How much capital have you guys raised to date for Tidal Wave?
So I cannot share the details about fundraising. However, one thing I could share is similar like how I select my team members. I am fortunate to have the option to select my investor. When I select my investor, I select the investor who invested in my first company. And then my investor who invested in my first company, Freewheel, was the investor who wrote us the check post the last financial bust, post 2008, when no one else dared write a check. He saw the potential in Freewheel. He saw the capability of the co-founder and the team that we built together. He wrote us the check. So that to me is very different. And then that's the reason why when I started Tidal Wave, I didn't take others' check, I took his.
So talk to us too about being I guess with the vision, because investors, you know, they really bet on the vision. Obviously, they're betting on you because you have the pre-existing relationship, but then also on the future that you're living into too, no? That vision. So let's say you were to go to sleep tonight, Diane, and you have this snooze of a lifetime. Okay, you wake up in a world where the vision of Tidal Wave is fully realized. What does that world look like?
So sitting here, if I were to think about Tidal Wave being super successful, we want to enable the mortgage industry, utilize our capability, making the best offer of the loan product to the borrower who's seeking a mortgage and getting approved in real time. So that borrower has a unique, happy experience, fully transparent. And the lenders can doing that with the highest amount of efficiency. They don't have to worry about losing money. That way, lenders can evolve, providing more and different loan product to the borrowers who are seeking for the best loan product out there. We're making a capability to change the entire mortgage industry. That, to me, will be we're doing our job right.
So let's talk about the past now, Diane. You know, we're talking about the future. I want to talk about the past with a lens of reflection. I'm going to put you into a time machine. And I'm going to bring you back to 2007, that moment where you were giving your notice from DoubleClick, and that moment where you were going to become an entrepreneur for the first time in your life. And let's say you had the opportunity of having a chat with that younger Diane, and you were able to give that younger Diane one piece of advice before launching a business. What would that be and why, given what you know now?
Don't be afraid of jumping out of your comfortable zone. Enjoy the learning experience. As long as you're learning, you're improving, you're going to lead to something greater and better.
I love it. And obviously, with discomfort comes growth. So I love that. So Diane, for the people that are listening, that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
Follow us on LinkedIn and send me an email at dyu@tidalwave.ai.
Easy enough. Well, Diane, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Alejandro.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.